Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and she joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Mary Kay, well, let's start with rookie minicamp. There wasn't a ton to take away from that, but I know you took away some things. I know a lot of it can come after the fact when you talk with players and such and coaches after the workouts. What were some of the biggest things that stuck with you?
Well, the first thing that I noticed, and I'm sure a lot of other people did, was Barkevius Mingo, he passed the eyeball test right away. I mean, his athleticism really stood out. And, you know, just doing this for so many years, when someone shows up on the doorstep and they look like they have star potential, you can kind of see that right away. And it was very, very evident just in the way that he moved through the bags, just the way that, you know, just kind of the way that he looked physically, the way that he carried himself, you know, took some coaching, dropped back into coverage. So I thought that was a great sign because we have seen, you know, over the years, we've seen guys come through here that, you know, you just kind of take a look and you think, I wonder if they're going to make it. There was no feeling like that whatsoever about Barkevius Mingo.
Yeah, I was going to say, he seemed to not make a lot of false steps, right? Everything he seemed to do was true. You mentioned about taking coaching, the directions that he got, he seemed to follow pretty well.
Absolutely. And, you know, and he's got a great attitude, too. I mean, everybody that you talk to, you know, all over the country, that anybody that's, you know, coached against him, coached him, played against him, family members, everyone just absolutely raves about this young man. So, you know, you can kind of see why they targeted him, and you can see where they're going, you know, with the whole thing.
Yeah, there's no question there. And I think the same applied with Leon McFadden, just watching him go through those drills and see a guy who looks like he knows what he's doing. He definitely is that height thing can make you stop a little bit. But then you look at the Browns roster and really how many truly big corners have they had? And I think now you could say, well, that's maybe part of the reason you struggle back there. But isn't it more about how the guy covers than it is about how he's matching up physically? I mean, you can hold your own physically, but you can be a good guy. You could be a good cover corner and not necessarily have to be 6 feet or taller.
Well, absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, he is really not that much shorter than Joe Haden. And we never, ever heard a word about Joe Haden's height. It was just never an issue. So, you know, it's funny in the NFL, you know, one inch can mean a world of difference in how, you know, someone is talked about, you know, how someone is perceived. And, you know, I even, you know, kidded Leon McFadden about that. He spent a little time with Joe Haden. You know, he's been over to Joe's house already. These guys have really welcomed him. And I said, you know, you had to feel pretty good when you looked almost eye to eye with Joe. And he said, yeah, he said that did give him a little bit of a confidence boost. But, you know, this is a young man. I got an opportunity to talk to his father the other day, Leon McFadden Sr., who was a professional baseball player for 9 years. And he talked a lot about, you know, just how, you know, just kind of how he really helped Leon, you know, become a professional and learn, you know, to focus on, you know, what's the next thing that you have to do right. And he just comes from great stock, great background. He's got a tremendous attitude, and he's really determined to come in here and be phenomenal. I also talked to Brian Sipe about Leon McFadden, and he just raves about this young man. He feels that Leon will be able to come in here and shut down one side of the field. He says he's got great hands. He is as a former quarterback. Brian Sipe talked about how he, you know, he knew, you know, not to really throw to guys like that because in addition to their cover skills, they can get their hands on the football.
The other thing that stood out to me too, Mary Kay, was the repeated questions that Barkevius Mingo and Leon McFadden heard about respectively lack of weight and lack of height. And those questions were pointed and repeated, and it's something that's really not going to go away for them until they go out on the field and prove that maybe not being the biggest guy weight-wise or the tallest guy is a detriment to what they do, right? I mean, we're going to – those judgments are going to be out there. But I thought in at least handling the questions, I wouldn't say either one of them was defensive per se, but they just seemed pretty confident and straight up about, hey, look, I can handle this. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is what got me to this point, and I can keep going with this. And although I did hear McFadden basically add on to it that – I'll have that, I'll take that or carry that like a chip on my shoulder.
Yes, he does use it as that. And what he doesn't use it as is an excuse. And that's one thing that that I did talk to his dad about as well. And he said he never let Leon use that as an excuse. Leon looked at it as something that could drive and motivate him. And he never looked at that as something that should ever hold him back in any way. So they both have a really good attitude about their size, their weight. But when you talk to Barkevious and everyone else that we've talked to, I expect that they'll want him to put on a little bit of weight. He's only about 237 right now. But, I just don't think it looks, that bad on him. I don't look at him and think, boy, he's a really skinny guy. I think, when he was in his suit, maybe it was just a really nice, well-cut, Italian-made suit or something.
Probably was.
Yeah. Because, he almost looked, nice and slim in a suit like you would want to look like if you're going out for dinner. But
right.
When he put on, the jersey and when he put on the shorts, he did not look like a skinny guy to me. I mean, did you look out there and think, oh, geez,
no.
Feed this guy a burger? I mean, it just did not look like that.
No, he looked like a football player, looked like an athlete. And yeah, like we say, they come in all shapes and sizes. You think of Jason Taylor, you think of different guys, Alton Smith, all those guys who've come into the league who aren't necessarily the biggest guys yet can be highly effective at what they do. Another player, by the way, we're visiting with Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the Revel Wireless Hotline, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another player who met the media and who really met some pretty intense inquisition was Armani Bryant, 7th-round draft pick, and it was for all the reasons that you don't want to have to deal with, but in his case you do with his background, the arrests, the most recent being the DUI right before that rookie minicamp, right after the draft. Your thoughts on A, how he handled things, and B, as you sort of watch him and the more you're getting to know about him, I mean, this is my takeaway is this is a guy that if and it's a huge if he can stay out of trouble could make a significant contribution, I think, at some point to this football team.
You know what? I think so. And you know what? What a better place to take a chance on a guy like this, than late in the draft. Why not? I mean, most of those guys don't make the team anyway. So if you can find a guy back there that you feel you can surround him with a good support system and you can find a football player back in the 7th round like that, why not? And I'm a big, huge believer in second chances for guys and sometimes even third chances. I've always admired the Bengals for taking chances on guys. They've been ridiculed. Mike Brown has been ridiculed over the years for taking people onto his football team that, maybe have some arrests in their background or have some problems. But, I look at it like, thank goodness someone is willing to take a chance on some of these young men that might maybe just need to get into a situation where they have some good mentors, where they have some support. And I think that there are those good mentors on this football team. One of them is Joe Cullen, who went out and worked out Armani Bryant. And, Joe has had, a situation in his past where he's had to overcome it, and he's become a great role model for some of these guys. I found Armani Bryant to be humble and contrite and really determined to put this behind him and try to make something out of this NFL career.
Yeah, I came away with those same impressions, but again, as he stressed over and over again, let my actions speak. That was his message. So your actions are going to speak, Armani. I think that's the situation you've put yourself into, and if they speak the right way and it's all about your playing ability, what a boost he could be to this team in this front seven. Michael Lombardi, the Browns general manager, made an appearance in Canton and spoke at the luncheon there yesterday, and it was a nice affair down there in Canton. But I think the biggest point about his appearance was his delivery of the Browns' mission statement, of the message that what this team is after is sustainable success, that, no, they're not giving up on the 2013 season, despite a lot of criticism to that effect after trading away those fourth and fifth round draft picks for next year draft picks. But overall, I thought he delivered a pretty thorough message about what he, what not just him, but I mean what the whole organization is looking to do. Do you think that something like that has helped advance this effort to try to get people to understand what this administration is trying to do with this team?
Yes, and I think one of the things that he did very well was articulate what exactly that blueprint is. They're very, very clear about it. And by now, I think people should be starting to see what the identity of this football team is going to be. And, you know, what it is it's going to be heavily focused on the passing game. They will seek to do whatever they can to protect the quarterback, and they will do whatever they can to rush the passer. And you can see, you know, that should just be the mission statement that appears over, you know, every entryway into Berea right now, because that's the identity of this football team. And, you know, that's not to say that Trent Richardson isn't going to be a vital part of this team, because he will be. We've all seen what Norv Turner has been able to do with the LaDainian Tomlinsons. But it's going to be a pass-first mentality. And he also brought up the fact that that it's very, very key to get up on teams early so you can utilize that pass rush in the second half. So when they have that sort of mantra overhead, then they can go out and draft the kind of guys that, you know, that will fit this profile that they're looking for.
The OTAs are underway and going to continue for the coming weeks now, days and weeks in Berea. Your thoughts on, now that the veterans are going to be incorporated into workouts with the rookies, your thoughts in general about how you see this playing out? I know the focus is going to be about that quarterback competition between Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell, but there are other interesting areas that we're going to pay attention to, right, to see how Devon Best fits at wide receiver, to see how things are going to shake out at cornerback with Leon McFadden. Is he going to be the starter there? Who else is going to emerge in that? How's the safety position looking? I mean, we got a few things to kind of sort out, and I'm not saying we're going to get all our answers during OTAs, but at least it's going to be a beginning point, right, Mary Kay?
Absolutely. And then, you know, I think, too, there are a lot of bodies now on that defensive front. So there's going to be a lot of looking at and studying and investigating, you know, where does the Tava Rubin fit in? How is Jabal Sheard handling his new role? How are these linebackers going to fit in? You know, where are you going to put a James Johnson or a Craig Robertson? So I think it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do with all these pieces and parts they've added to the defensive front. But I think that Ray Horton has got to be, you know, one of the happiest people in the building right now with everything that he's got to work with. So now I think it's a matter of just finding out who fits where and how those rotations will go.
Yeah, I agree, and we'll watch them all play out in Berea. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Thank you so much for joining us, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
Covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the Rebel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.